morning. Lord, it brings us great joy that we could sing songs to you. Lord, great joy that we could just worship you and honor you and adore you. Lord, we just thank you so much for the cross of Calvary. Thank you so much, Jesus, that you laid down your life. Lord, no one took your life from you, but you laid it down yourself because you saw us. You saw all of humanity. And we thank you that the cross is enough. We thank you that Jesus is enough. Lord, we just want to bless you this morning. I pray, God, that as we sit under your word would do as it's intended to do, God, that it would wash us, Lord. Lord, that it would be light to our feet, lamp to our path. We thank you, Lord, that Holy Spirit, that you're still here with us. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you'd be speaking into each of our hearts this morning. Lord, we want you to change us from the inside out. So I pray you continue to do your work in us this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Sharon. Wow. So happy new year to everybody, if I hadn't have said that earlier. You all had a good new year? No hangovers? We need to pray if there's anyone in here putting their hand up. But that's all right, we're family. Well, who was that? Bronwyn. Oh. Confessional time. Mackie and Helen have just gone, oh no. 2024. Wow. So we've moved into another year. 2023 is behind us now. And God's got some good things in store for us for 2024. Those who weren't here last week, encourage you to go and listen to the message on Spotify or iTunes, wherever you can find it. But it was about expecting great things from God in 2024. Expect great things from God. Attempt great things for God. Despite what we see going on around us and maybe despite what you're going through yourself, what challenges you're facing yourself, it doesn't mean that it's an obstacle where God can't move and do something great in your own life. And we're hearing about in the little things that God's doing. And so it's so encouraging just to hear the little things. God is really interested in the little and minute things in our lives. And it's not just the great, big, grand things. So expect great things from God. Excuse me. You know, they can be the little things. What was that? Yeah, it's the frog. It can be the little things. In God's eyes, the little things are the great things, the big things. So we need to shift our perspective from earthly things to heavenly things. Anyway, that's last week's message. I'm going to jump in to this week's message this morning. We're going to be talking about encounters with Jesus over the next 4 weeks. So in our soap readings, we've been reading through the Gospel of John. And so for this month in January, we're going to look at 4 people in the Gospel of John who had an encounter with Jesus and how the encounter they had with Jesus, how it influenced and challenged them, changed them, transformed their life. Okay, so we're going to jump straight in. Before I do, I came across a couple of jokes during the week. I'm not one for telling jokes, but because I can't tell them. Anyway, I'm going to practice on you guys. When I move into comedy, nah, that will never happen. 2 cows are talking through a fence. I thought this is quite practical, being in Smithland. 2 cows are talking through a fence. 1 cow says to the other, "You know, I'm really worried about this mad cow disease." The other cow says to him, "I wouldn't be too worried about it. It won't hurt us chickens." Yeah. Okay, people are still getting it. It reminds me of a chicken joke. Why did Beethoven get rid of his chickens? Because they kept going bark, 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 bark. You need to be into classical music to understand that one. Lastly, today I gave up my seat on the bus to a blind person. I was also fired from my job as the bus driver. There's no justice for the kind-hearted in this world today. This morning we're going to talk about a guy who was, I think, a little bit blind to the things of God. And we're going to look at a guy called Nicodemus in John chapter 3. And as we'll read, he's a guy that's searching around for Jesus in the dark. Okay, and so we're going to pick it up on John chapter 3 verse 1. And sometimes our life can be a bit like that. We can be searching around in the dark for spiritual truth, or we can be searching around in the dark for Jesus himself. So John chapter 3 verse 1. There was a man named Nicodemus, a Jewish religious leader who was a Pharisee. After dark one evening, he came to speak with Jesus. "Rabbi," he said, "we all know that God has sent you to teach us. Your miraculous signs are evidence that God is with you." I'm just going to pause here for a moment. Is anyone hot? Shall we open some windows? Or is it too windy? Or should we put some air cons on? Then people are going to get cold. Sorry, I'm just burning up here. Maybe it's the Holy Spirit. Is it really windy outside? It is. We can maybe move the shades up a bit, Paul, so they won't bang around maybe. Anyway, feel free to walk around and turn things on if you're feeling hot. We're all family here. So verse 3, Jesus replied, "I tell you the truth, unless you are born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God." "What do you mean?" exclaimed Nicodemus. "How can an old man go back into his mother's womb and be born again?" Jesus replied, "I assure you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without having been born of water and the Spirit. Humans can produce only human life, but the Holy Spirit gives birth to spiritual life. So don't be surprised when I say you must be born again. The wind blows wherever it wants, just as you can hear the wind blow, but can't tell where it comes from or where it is going. So you can't explain how people are born of the Spirit." "How are these things possible?" Nicodemus asked. Jesus replied, "You are a respected Jewish teacher, and yet you don't understand these things? I assure you, we tell you what we know and have seen, and yet you won't believe our testimony. But if you don't believe me when I tell you about earthly things, how can you possibly believe if I tell you about heavenly things? Well, no one's ever gone to heaven and returned, but the Son of Man who came down from heaven. And as Moses lifted up the bronze snake on a pole in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, so that everyone who believes in him will have eternal life. For this is how God loved the world. He gave his one and only Son, so that everyone who believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. God sent his Son into the world not to judge the world, but to save the world through him." I love that verse. That's one of my favourite verses in the Bible. Verse 17, God sent his Son into the world not to judge the world. Jesus hasn't come to judge you, but he's come to save you. "There is no judgment," verse 18, "there is no judgment against anyone who believes in him. But anyone who does not believe in him has already been judged for not believing in God's one and only Son." Verse 19, and the judgment is based on this fact: God's light came into the world, but people loved the darkness more than the light, for their actions were evil. All who do evil hate the light and refuse to go near it for fear their sins will be exposed. But those who do what is right come to the light so others can see that they are doing what God wants. There's the story of Nicodemus and Jesus and the conversation that occurs at night. So who is this guy Nicodemus? The Bible tells us he is a Pharisee and he's also a religious leader. Now, more technically, he was part of the Jewish ruling council, or another word for saying Jewish ruling council, he was part of the Sanhedrin. The Sanhedrin were a body that made judgments on Jewish law. So they can trace the Sanhedrin all the way back to Exodus chapter 18, where Moses led Israel out of Egypt. 1.6 million people, and Moses' father-in-law said to Moses, you need help in leading these people. You need help in making judgments regarding these people. So he elected 70 elders. So the Sanhedrin were a body that made judgments on Jewish law. Let me tell you this. They were the body that put Jesus on the cross. The Sanhedrin were the ones that basically committed Jesus to the cross. That was their role. And Nicodemus was a Pharisee. Nicodemus was part of this council. He was part of the Sanhedrin. He was a powerful man. And here we see him running around at night looking for Jesus. Why? Well, he doesn't want anyone to know. He doesn't want anyone to find out that he's actually having a conversation or he's having an encounter with Jesus. After all, Jesus and the Sanhedrin didn't get along. Does that make sense? So, Nicodemus, he shows up and he has this respect for Jesus. He says that Jesus has come from God. Verse 2, Rabbi, he said, we all know that God has sent you to teach us. Your miraculous signs are evidence that God is with you. So we get this picture here that Nicodemus is a guy who's seeking for spiritual truth. He's running around in the dark. He's blind to the things of God. He's trying to find truth. He has an encounter with Jesus, who is the truth. Amen. And he doesn't get it. Like Jesus, this conversation that he has with Jesus, like he's blind to the things of God. He's on a different page. Like Jesus has a conversation. This is what how Nicodemus responds. Verse 4. What do you mean? How can an old man go back into to a mother's womb? He doesn't get it. Verse 9. How are these things possible? Nicodemus asked. And then Jesus responded, you're a respected Jewish teacher and yet you don't understand these things. Jesus is talking to Nicodemus about spiritual realities. He's got no idea, no understanding. He's blind to the things of God. He's in darkness, spiritual darkness. And part of Nicodemus's problem is that for a guy of the Sanhedrin, he would have known the law back the front. He would have known the Old Testament back the front. In fact, he would have put his belief and his trust in the Old Testament or the law for salvation. And this is why Jesus challenged Nicodemus. But the great thing about Nicodemus is this encounter, it changed his life. And we don't read it in this story, but let's go to the end of the Gospel of John, verse 38 and chapter 19, and look what John writes about Nicodemus. He says, afterwards, Joseph of Arimathea, who had been a secret disciple of Jesus, because he feared the Jewish leaders, asked Pilate for permission to take down Jesus' body. Jesus had just been crucified. When Pilate gave permission, Joseph came and took the body away. With him came Nicodemus, the man who had come to Jesus at night. He brought about 75 pounds of perfumed ointment and made from myrrh and aloes. That's how you say it. Verse 40, following Jewish burial custom, they wrapped Jesus' body with the spices in long sheets of linen cloth. The place of crucifixion was near a garden where there was a new tomb, never used before. And so because it was the day of preparation for the Jewish Passover, and since the tomb was close at hand, they laid Jesus there. Here we have Nicodemus in chapter 3. He's running around at night, not wanting to be seen by anyone. He's running around at night. He's running around in the dark to encounter truth, to encounter Jesus. Doesn't want anyone else to know about it. At the end of John's Gospel, here we have Nicodemus bringing Jesus' body down from the cross. This would have been a public spectacle, anointing Jesus' body for burial. We see a change, a transition. We see something has happened to Nicodemus. And it's because of his encounter with Jesus. So our theme for this month is encounters with Jesus. What does that mean for us today? Well, encounters with Jesus means this. Firstly, it means getting a fresh new start in life. Jesus gives us a fresh new start. I love this story about Nicodemus. I love the way Jesus responds to his questions. Jesus knew Nicodemus's spiritual condition and he addressed it straight away. No beating about the bush. No, small talk. Jesus gets straight to the point straight away. Let's go back to John chapter 3 verse 2. After dark, one evening, Nicodemus came to speak to Jesus. Rabbi, he said, we all know that God has sent you to teach us. Your miraculous signs are evidence that God is with you. And this is what Jesus replied. This is what he said. No small talk, no beating around the bush. I tell you the truth, unless you're born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. I love that. Nicodemus came searching for truth. He found truth, but he also copped truth coming out of Jesus' mouth. In other words, Nicodemus, you need to be born again. You need to be born again. Understand that a Pharisee or one who was part of the Jewish ruling council put their faith and their trust in the law. And Jesus is saying, your faith and trust needs to be in me. Needs to be in Jesus Christ. I can give you a fresh new start. I can change your life. Amen? Jesus can change your life. Jesus can give you a fresh new start. Jesus can wash your old life clean. Wash it clean. White as snow. Hello? Is there anyone here? That's exciting. That's good news. Okay. I don't know about you guys and your salvation experience, but I'm so thankful. Back in 1991, I had an encounter with Jesus. I had an encounter with Jesus. He changed my life. He transformed my life. He gave me a fresh new start. My life was going nowhere. Nowhere at all. But he came into my life. He saved me. He gave me hope. He gave me a future. Can I just encourage anyone here this morning, if you have not responded to the grace, the love, the mercy and kindness of Jesus Christ, can I just ask you to consider what the Bible says about Jesus? Who is Jesus? He's the Son of God. He's the way, the truth, the life. He's the Alpha. He's the Omega. He's the bread of life. He's the Good Shepherd, the great high priest. He's Emmanuel, God with us. He is God clothed in flesh. He's the King of kings, the Lord of lords, the light of the world, the Lamb of God, the Messiah, the Lion of Judah. He is the Savior of the world. Okay. If you're here this morning and you haven't given your heart or your life to Jesus, can I encourage you? Take a step of faith. This is what Jesus does. 2 Corinthians 5. Paul says this, anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life has gone, the new life has begun. Okay. Maybe you've made a commitment to follow Jesus, but you've kept Jesus at a distance. Maybe you're living a life that is lonely. Maybe you're living a life full of discouragement. Maybe you're walking around in darkness. Can I tell you, encountering Jesus, seeking Jesus, encountering him afresh means that he can bring you new hope. He can bring a renewed purpose. He can bring freedom from guilt and shame. He can bring inner peace. He can affirm your identity. You're a child of God. You're not a child of Adam. You're a child of God. An exchange took place at the cross. He who was without sin became sin so that we could become the righteousness of God. This is good news right here. Encountering Jesus can give us a fresh new start. Whether you've given your life to Jesus or whether you haven't. If you're living, you're backslidden, you're living your life in sin, maybe you're living your life in darkness, he is the light of the world. He can come and bring light back into your darkness. Encountering Jesus can also move us from trusting in religious routines or putting our trust in religious practices to real faith and to real faith in Christ. Nicodemus was a man who was deeply entrenched in religious practices. And there's no doubt he would have tried to obey every letter of the law. 634 laws. That even makes me feel tired. Trying to obey 634. You fail to obey one, you've broken them all. But no doubt, he would have practiced Sabbath and he would have practiced the Jewish festivals and everything. Would have done it to a T because he's put his hope and his trust and his faith in the law. Not understanding that the law was given to show us how far mankind had fallen from God's righteousness. And the law was given to show us that we needed a saviour. We needed someone to come and save us. All have fallen short of God's glory. All have fallen short of God's standard. So our encounter with Jesus, it really underscores the importance of putting our trust in religious rituals or religious practicals and moving to a genuine personal relationship with Jesus Christ. He's the only one that can bring salvation. He's the only one that can make you righteous. When we were in Europe, in Germany, we spent a day in Wittenberg, which was where Martin Luther nailed the 95 Theses on the Wittenberg church door, All Saints Church, or now known as the Castle Church door. Luther, now there's many mistakes, many things wrong with Luther, like there's many things wrong with all of us, I suppose, but he was instrumental in God using to spark this fire of the Reformation back in the 16th century. The thing about Luther, he was a Catholic monk, but he really struggled with his own salvation within the Catholic system. His own assurance of salvation, it was not assured. He was deeply aware of his own sinfulness. But this is the thing. Revelation comes to him about God's grace found in the book of Romans. God's righteousness is available to the believer through faith. This is the crux of the whole Reformation. And we've got to thank God for the Reformation. Luther's revelation came through Romans 1 verse 17. And it says, for in the gospel the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. Well, the New Living Translation says, the good news, well, the gospel tells us that God makes us right in his sight. This is accomplished from start to finish by faith, not by trusting or obeying religious practices. As the scripture says, it is through faith that a righteous person has life. The Reformation was about God's grace. It's freely given and it can be accessed by anyone through faith. We need to celebrate that. We don't have to try and work our way to make ourselves right with God, because you know what? We'd all fall short. But God has made a way, and it is his grace by faith or through faith that we can find salvation. Catholic doctrine back in the day, God's grace was passed on at baptism, infant baptism, and that led to good works and sacramental practices. And they practiced this thing called indulgences, which was you could buy your relatives into heaven, give money, and you know your relatives will end up getting into heaven. Reformation doctrine, sola gratia, salvation by grace alone through faith. Come on, salvation by grace alone through faith. We don't have to work to earn our righteousness with God. It comes because of his grace through faith in what Jesus has done on the cross. Isn't this good news? Encounters with Jesus. Man, it gives us a fresh new start. Encounters with Jesus, it moves us from practicing religious things to earn our salvation to putting our trust in Jesus. The book of Hebrews talks about keep our eyes fixed on Jesus Christ, the author and the perfecter of our faith. Let's keep our eyes fixed on Jesus. Encounters with Jesus also, it shakes things up in our own culture. I love this. It shakes things up in our own culture. Look at Nicodemus. walking around, running around at night, not wanting to be seen, but has an encounter with Jesus at the end of John's gospel. He's not worried about doing things at night, but he doesn't care what people think. He just loves his Lord. He just committed to Jesus. He's going to prepare his body for burial. Would have been a public act where once he was scared or afraid of what people thought of encountering Jesus at the end of his gospel, he doesn't care what people think. Encountering Jesus, it shakes our own culture up. We can be afraid. We can be afraid. We can be ashamed of sharing Jesus to our friends, our family members, our community. But encounters with Jesus will shake all that up to the point that, you know what? We don't care. I don't care. I just want to be passionate and tell people about the greatest story ever told. I want to tell people about the greatest person that's ever lived. I want to tell people about God who became flesh and saved me from depravity and eternity that would end up in hell. Encounters with Jesus, it actually shakes our own culture up as it shook Nicodemus' culture up. Hey, it shakes our church culture up as well. Ooh! It shakes our church culture up. Ask a question. Don't answer it. What do they call it? Is it a rhetorical? If we were to put in the newspaper a question for our community to answer, what would they say? And the question is this. Describe church culture in your community. How would the community respond to that? Now, they can respond in many different ways. Some might say, oh, the culture of the church is awesome. It's loving, accepting, kind, you know, fellowship. They connect with one another. There's community going on. Others may say something completely different. It's divisive and hurts people. You look in the news today and we hear story after story about the bad things that have happened in church. But an encounter with Jesus can change all that. You know, if we're honest enough with ourselves and just say, well, what kind of culture do we have here? You know what? Is it a God-fearing one? Is it a God-honoring culture? Is it a culture that loves God and loves people? Maybe it is. Maybe it, I don't know. You guys would know. I'm not saying that it is or isn't, but I'm saying encounters with Jesus can change it. When we encounter Jesus and we're baptized in his spirit, filled with the Holy Ghost, it changes everything. All of a sudden, we're kind of producing things like love and joy and peace. That's the culture the church should be. A culture full of love, full of joy, full of peace, full of kindness, full of faithfulness, full of goodness, full of joy. Did I say joy? Amen. Encounters with Jesus can shake our culture up, personally, collectively. And number four, lastly, encounters with Jesus allows us to experience God's love and his grace on a regular basis. I love this story about Nicodemus. He appears to be a seeker of truth. If our hearts seek to be seekers of truth and we position ourselves to experience, then we position ourselves to experience God's love, his grace, his kindness, and his mercy. That's exactly what Nicodemus experienced. Think about it. Nicodemus was part of the Sanhedrin, part of the Jewish ruling council. If there was anybody that Jesus had the right, or had the, what's the right word? Had the, if there was anybody that Jesus could have justified himself for flicking off, it would have been someone from the Jewish ruling council. It would have been someone from the Sanhedrin. Because they clashed. They were looking at ways where they could arrest Jesus. In fact, they basically brought an accusation of lies against him. Blasphemy. So if there was anyone that Jesus could have flicked off and probably justified in doing so, it would have been Nicodemus. But what did Nicodemus experience when he encountered Jesus? Jesus didn't flick him off. He encountered grace, love, kindness, mercy. That's what happens when we position ourselves to regularly encounter Jesus. So it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't matter who you are, what culture you come from, what your background is. It doesn't matter if you're a white collar worker or you're a blue collar worker. It doesn't matter if you're God's grace and God's mercy and his kindness. It's for all. It's for all. All those who seek. All those who position themselves to encounter Jesus. We can all receive God's love, God's grace, God's mercy. I'm talking about every day. Not just something that happened 30 years ago when I got saved. No, this is something that is available to us every single day. Sharon, do you want to come up? Do you want to just all stand this morning? You know, you may not have a relationship with the Lord this morning. Maybe you do have a relationship with God this morning, but maybe your relationship is stagnated. Maybe you've backslidden in your own relationship with God. I want to give you an opportunity this morning just to make things right with God. We've heard this morning that encounter with Jesus, he can give you a fresh new start. He can give you a fresh new start. Whether you've been walking this journey, you made a decision years ago to follow Jesus, but you've kind of like wandered off the way, he wants to bring you back. He wants to make things right. But you've got to be willing. Greatest scripture, most well-known scripture has come out of this passage. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him will not perish or shall not perish but have everlasting life. God did not send his son in the world to condemn the world, but he sent his son in the world so that the world might be saved through him. Just with every eye closed, every head bowed. If you're here this morning, just for sensitivity, just for around people around, just so they've got confidence, just want to shoot up their hand. They don't want people looking and things like that. So if you can just respect that, keep your eyes closed, head bowed. I mean, if there's anyone here this morning, you know what? You haven't committed your life to following Jesus as your Lord and Savior. I want to give you an opportunity right now. If that is you, do you want to just shoot up your hand? He can give you a fresh new start. I kind of wonder this morning how many people here haven't invited God into their heart to save them. Room like this, there might be 1, 2, 3, 4 people. I don't know. You know, God's been waiting. He's been waiting, patiently waiting for the day when you would accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior. He's been patiently waiting for you to make that decision. Jesus died on the cross. He died on the cross to pay the price for our sin. He died on the cross to pay the price for your sin. He died on the cross to make you right with God. 1991, I made the decision to ask Jesus into my life and to follow him as my Lord and Savior. And I can tell you it's the best decision I ever made. From that moment on, It's been a journey of being overwhelmed with God's grace, with God's mercy, with God's love, with his kindness. It's been a journey where God has put hope into my heart. He's put purpose into my heart. If there's someone here this morning, you want to raise your hand, I'd love to pray with you. I could pass the mic around and there'd be countless stories of similar to mine. So I just want to give you one more opportunity this morning. If you're here this morning, you've not made that decision, do you want to put your hand up? I'd love to pray with you this morning. We're all saved. We're all good in the house. We all know that our eternity is secure. We're all right with God. Maybe you've made a decision and you've backslidden. There's an opportunity to make yourself right with God right now. Maybe you're like Nicodemus and you're walking around in the dark. You're walking around in the dark. Jesus is there. He's there to bring light into your darkness. He's there to bring life where there's death, where there's healing, where there's pain. Okay. You can turn the lights back up, Wade. Well, you've been awesome to preach to this morning, church. It's been great. 2024, first Sunday. God's going to do incredible things in our life. But can I encourage you, as you leave today, don't forget, encounters with Jesus gives us a fresh new start. Encounters with Jesus, it moves us from trusting in religious practices to real faith in Jesus Christ. Encounters with Jesus, it shakes our culture up. Come on, whose culture needs shaken up? Mine does. Needs shaken up. It shakes our culture up, but also encounters with Jesus, positions us to keep on receiving His love, His grace, His mercy, and His kindness. Thank God for a guy like Nicodemus, eh? Nicodemus walking around in the dark, but at the end of the gospel, here he is, playing a big part in preparing Jesus' body for burial, which he wasn't there for long. All right, I'm going to hand it to Sharon. If you need prayer for anything, I'd love to pray for you this morning. If you need prayer for healing, you've got sickness in your body, love to pray for you this morning. If you want to stand in the gap for someone, you've got a relative or a friend who needs prayer, come down the front, stand in the gap, love to pray for this morning. But please hang around, coffee, scones, hang around for a chat. Let's do community, and I'll talk to you soon.